Chavtes and Beis. Vein Lemarim B'Chabaloshna Kodesh. These are things that have to be said in Hebrew. No, much easier Gemara tonight than the last line. Those are Ezvarim Lemarim B'Loshna Kodesh. These are the things which are said in Hebrew. Mikra Bikurim, the parsha when you read the Bikur, when you see the parsha you say to the Kohen, when you read the Bikurim, the Chalitza, and the parsha of Chalitza, the Rochis, Uklolos, the blessings and curses. Now, blessings and curses, we don't have them anymore, but when Am Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, so they said the Brochis and Har Grizim, and the Klolos and Har Evo, and we're going to come to that in the next mission in greater detail when we start specifying. Birkas Kohanim is also only in Hebrew. Birkas Kohen Gadol, what the Kohen Gadol says when he exits the Kodesh Kodashim, and Parashas HaMelech, the parasha which the king reads at Hakel, who Parashas Egla Rufa, what the basin says when they kill the Egla Rufa, when the guy was murdered, and we don't know who murdered him, and the Kohen is anointed to speak to the nation, when he speaks to the nation. Okay, now we're going to detail these things. Mikra Bikurim, Kate said, what's this? What happens by Mikra Bikurim when you read the parsha of the Bikurim? So then we say, I don't know, specifically in Hebrew, Ketzad, because it says when they bring the Bikurim, Vanisa, you should respond, Vamarta, and say, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ulalon, and by the brachos and klolos, it says, Vanu Alvim, Vamru, El Kol Ish Yisrael, it says, Levim should respond and say, to all of Kol Ish Yisrael, to all Jews, Kol Rom, in a loud voice. Mani Amur Adomai Ulalon, just like the statements by the brachos and klolos are in Hebrew, so too Afkam Beloshna Kodesh. So to here, it's also in Hebrew. Chalitza Ketzat. How do we know Chalitza Spidafka be the parsha? The conversation has to take place in Hebrew. Ketzat V'onsa V'omra. Says she should respond and say, so too will be done to the man who doesn't want to build his brother's house. So this also, Aniya Vamira, the two words, Gzereshava, to the case of Levim and the Brachos and Klolos. Vamru, and they say, Vamru, Lalon, Omer. Later on it says, Vamru, Levim, Vamru, right? Maniya Amura, Lalon, Beloshna Kodesh, that's why the Brachos and Klolos was in Hebrew. Afkam Beloshna Kodesh, so too it's in Hebrew. Rabbi Domer, Vamru, Vamru, Kocha. He says a slightly different version of this. He says Vantav Amra Kocha, right? Now, really says Vantav Amra colon Kocha Yesel Ish. But he dashes Vantav Amra Kocha. She has to say it Azoi, this way specifically, which means in Hebrew. Okay? So the Kocha is going on, according to him, on the language.
What is it, a Xerisher, what is it, a Hekish?
A hekish is where it's just a logical construct without words. Here we're using the words on the and Amira.
The reason why I ask is because Anza and Amra are the same meanings, but it's not the same words.
Yeah, but the word, it's permutations of the words, and that suffices. The permutations of the words suffice. Until she says in such a language of Chalitza. Okay, now in the I have to tell you, in the Bavli there's a whole discussion about Kocha and how Rabbi Yehuda's drasha works, and I'll be honest with you, I did not find it that terribly interesting to do the comparison shopping between the Bavli and Yerushalmi on that matter. Sorry about that, but there is some discussion about how the drushas is regarded by the Bavli and Yerushalmi, but we're just going to gloss over that. Again, my apologies, but somehow I tend to think you would not have been terribly more excited than I was. Okay, Tani B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda. Learns in the name Rabbi Yehuda. Koma kom shenem arvelosh nazeh aniya v'amira kocha. The ko, again, this is what I'm referring to, right, that the Bavli has some more expanded discussion. B'chlal, this perek is very long in Bavli. Lots of agadats on the Bavli on this, much more than the Yerushalmi. But, okay, but we know that that's usually the case. Tani B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda, Koma kom shenem arvelosh nazeh aniya v'amira kocha. The koi says, Azoi kocha, and koi are the languages of Azoi, blush nakush. It's got me Hebrew. Amar Rabbi Elazar says, Binyan of Shebekula. Now, he really doesn't want to learn, like you asked me about Gzeira Shava. He doesn't want to learn Gzeira Shava. He wants to learn the Binyan of. A Binyan of means without words, necessarily, without the parallel based on words, but rather a parallel concept, right? Binyan means there's a single construct from which we can extrapolate to the rest of the Torah. And this is an example. Moshe Daber, Elokim Yaneru Bekol, right? It says Moshe spoke and HaKadosh Baruch Hu assisted him. Now obviously by amplifying his voice. Now obviously there, that is talking about Hebrew, right? Because it was Aseres HaDibros, which was being spoken. So there we say that with Lashon HaKadosh is spoken, and therefore everywhere else where we have cases of speech, in we assume that it's speaking about Lashon HaKadosh. Okay, every case where people speak, just like Moshe Daber Elokim Yaneru Bekol, every place where we have the word Aniyah, because it says Yaneru Bekol, it's talking about Lashon HaKadosh. Okay, so the Binyan Av would not require precise Gzeirosh, it's not a Gzeiroshova. It's an interesting, very fine distinction. I'm not even sure I fully understand the distinction myself, to be honest with you. But we're learning a construct that Aniyah means, the word Aniyah means Lashon HaKadosh. So it says, Mara, how can you say this? Vaksim doesn't say, Vayan Lavan Ubsuel. This is a question I don't believe is in the Bavli. It says that Lavan and Ubsuel answered. Where do they answer that? Who remembers what that's speaking about? What do they say? Lavan and Ubsuel.
Who are they
answering? Who are they answering to?
Whether Rivka can go.
Right, whether Rivka goes with Eliezer. So they're answering Eliezer. So what language do you think they were speaking?
Aramaic.
They weren't speaking Hebrew. So I says everybody, you have a Yan Lo Basuo. In Tarmai De Aniyah. And if you're going to say that here it says Aniyah, right? And it doesn't say Amira, right? In Tarmai De Aniyah, Vaksi Vayomru. Right? So, and this really is the issue. The two, I don't know, it's choppier than Gemara, but it seems to not require Aniyah plus Amira. It's the Gzeir Shava which requires Aniyah plus Amira.
Maybe it's Aniyah, a Jew speaking to another Jew. Here you have two non-Jews speaking to each other.
No, because Eliezer, I think, is considered for this purpose to be Jewish. Because he Mistama spoke to Avraham Avinu in Hebrew. That's what we assume. Perhaps we're incorrect about that, but that's what you said. So anyway, so it seems Gemara is asking on two levels. That, the construct of the Binyan Av doesn't apply, and B, even the Gzeir Shava shouldn't apply. In Temer Ha'ide Aniyah, maybe say, here it's only Aniyah, Vaksi Vayomru. It says, Vayan Lovan Upsul Vayomru, and they said, right? In Temer Ha'ide Amira, now if you're going to say that, the Amira here had a different meaning. Amira means, and this is based on the Ritbaz, and it's a fine, it's a strange line, and I don't like his interpretation that much, but I certainly don't have a better one. He says, Amira, if you're going to say that here the word Amira is not part of the Gzeira Shava, because here the word Amira is necessary in order to note that they agreed with Eliezer. In other words, Aniyah, the Ritbaz wants to say, you might have said Aniyah by itself means a response. A response could mean a rejection. And then it says, Vayomru, that it wasn't a rejection, but rather an acquiescence. So maybe we would not make the Gzeira Shava here, certainly not the beginning of it, maybe not even Gzeira Shava, because I would say, it's like it's not Mufne. You know, that I need Aniyah for the actual response, and Amira to tell me that they responded positively as opposed to negatively. So it says, well, that's not necessary. It says, May Hashem Yotzad Ofar. And from the text of their response, we know that they agreed. Right? It says, May Hashem Yotzad Ofar. So the Amira should be mufne. You know, it should be superfluous, and therefore it should be allow us to make a Gzeira Shava. Right? Now, in Tamar of Lashon HaKodesh, and maybe you'll say they were speaking Hebrew. They didn't speak Hebrew. Loksidan said, Vaikrola Lavani Gar Sadusa. Lavan called the rock which he put up with Yaakov as a monument when they took their final leave from each other. Lavan called the Agar Sadus because Lavan spoke Aramaic. So obviously the Gemara is saying, I don't know if we've ever seen this explicitly in Chas, But the Gemara is saying that even though conversations in the Torah are recorded in Hebrew, nevertheless, that's just the way they're recorded for the purpose of the Chumash. But it's possible when Yosef, of course, spoke to Paro, that Yosef spoke in Egyptian, right? Which, in fact, is indicated by the fact Rashi brings down that Paro did not know Hebrew. So obviously all these things are translations. Okay? So, I was listening to a book recently, some novel by Sir Walter Scott, I forget which one. So I was wondering, it struck me with these spilos for some reason, that here's a guy writing in the early 19th century, and he uses, it seemed to me like a modern technique, he develops a theme, and then jumps to another thread and develops that theme, and jumps to another thread and develops that theme, and so on and so forth. Then he comes back and ties them all together. So I was saying, where do you get that technique? So he said, I realized it's really the Chumash itself which does that all the time. You have by Yosef and Yehuda, and the Chumash jumps back and forth. The Chumash is really, if one reads the Chumash as literature, then actually you see. I know the book. So the you read the, but he sort of reads his poetry, I think. But literature. Okay. So in any event, then actually you see that this is a precedent for, I guess, great novelists. But here we see that in fact the Torah's precedent was also that it translated. Right? That's actually everything they say, but it's a translation. Anyway, that's just rambling. Now this is similar to what you wanted to say. Maybe Vayanu Vayomru, that teaches us that it's in Hebrew, whether it's a Binyanov or Gzer Shava, is only after Mantur. Before Mantur, maybe they were speaking gibberish. We don't know what they're speaking before. So it could be that it doesn't mean anything. Says Mar, Hare Pashas Nusav, reputation. Hare Pashas Vidu Meister. Hare Lacham Matantur Bunemar B'chol Lashon. We had the Pasha Vidu Meister. When a person comes to, tell the kohen that he did everything which he has to do with Vidui Meiser, with the Meiser during the past 3 years, and it's after Matan Torah, right? And yet, even though it says over there of Ania, Vunemar B'chol Loshon, it can be said in any language. So, I'm not sure exactly what the Gemara was actually doing with this, but I think what the Gemara is trying to do, and this is just my hunch, I can't prove it to you, but I think what the Gemara is trying to do is to say that a binyanov won't work. A binyanov would mean that any place where there's conversation that says aniyah, in and of itself, means Hebrew. Says the Gemara, that can't be. Because sometimes it means Hebrew, and sometimes it doesn't mean Hebrew. Clearly for Matan Torah, it doesn't mean Hebrew. After Matan Torah also doesn't mean specifically Hebrew, right? So therefore, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. It can't therefore be a binyanov, it's got to be a Gzer Shava. How does the Gzer Shava work? So we're saying the way the Gzer Shava works is wherever it says Aniha and Amira, it means that, in fact, it has to be Lashon HaKodesh. What about Lavan? Right? So on that we could say, Take, since Lavan's before Matan Torah, there's no halachic ramification there. And therefore there's no Gzeirah Shavah to be made. I'm making this all up as I go along, but I think that that's what the gist of the Gemara is. That don't, a binyan of would be a construct which we would have to apply before Matan Torah as well. Because it's like an etymology. It's telling us what the word means. That's what the Gemara says, don't use binyan of, use Gzeirah Shavah. Gzer Shava, we apply selectively to all the places where it teaches halachas, but we're not going to apply to the historic thing of before Matan Torah, to where Lavan and Bezul responded.
When Bilam, Ma'isa Mashalo,
it was in Hebrew. Pashas was in Hebrew. I think so.
Was Hebrew?
Yeah, I think so. I think because it was put into his mouth. So I think those are definitely Hebrew. Okay, but I can't prove that to you. Shmuel ben Nachman said, "B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Shloye."
I'm just going to throw this out. Ridiculous point. The point from this Gemara is that it's possible that Adam Arishon didn't speak Hebrew.
It's possible. It's true. it's true. But the Midrash would say he spoke Lashon HaKodesh.
All these things.
Yeah, right. It's possible. I mean, the tradition is that Migdal Bavel. I think we had that somewhere in Yerushalmi. That Migdal Bavel is where the languages changed. Languages split, but everybody spoke Lashon HaKodesh till then. And Aramaic only came into existence at that point. I think we had that somewhere, but I don't recall where it was. All right, Yeshua ben Nachman ben Yochanan said, Shloya Lashon Sursi Kavinecha. Look, Aramaic, which is called Sursi, is one of the dialects of Aramaic. It shouldn't be, you shouldn't take it lightly. English, it's not in Tanakh, but Aramaic, it did make the cut, right? But the Torah, see, the Torah says, that's a pasuk in Aramaic. But the being saved could not tame alone, so you should say them, that's Aramaic. Because Vaidabru Kastim Lamelech Aramis. That's a funny, I don't know why we're using that pasuk. I mean, half of Ezra and Nehemiah is written in Aramaic. You don't need to.
And half of Daniel,
right. But I guess that's true, half of Daniel is. But I guess we're bringing down that as, you know, just the shorthand to tell us that there's a lot of Aramaic in Ksubin. All right, I'm Rabbi Anderson, the base Guvrin. Rabbi Anderson, the base Guvrin, said an interesting drasha, which, if I recall correctly, is in the Bavli, but I don't remember where. There's four languages which are nice to use in the world. Oh, is that what it is? We had this in Yerushalmi? Veiluhein. Okay, Veiluhein. Laz. The Laz is some foreign language. It's a Rashi thing.
It was Greek.
What?
We had before was Greek, wasn't it?
It was Greek? I think so. Yeah, the Carmel says Greek. Laz, and that's Lazemer, is good for song. Romi, Latin, Lakrav, is good for war. Sursi, Aramaic, is good. Lailia, for kinis, for lamentations. And Ivri is good, Ladibor, it's good for speaking. Okay? It's not a Zionistic statement here. It just says that Hebrew is a good language to speak. I don't know, maybe because it's a parsimonious language. You get more things said with less words. Some say a fifth one, Af Ashuri Liksav. So to Ashuris is good for writing. Ashuri, if we had it in the Ushani, probably we had it in Shabbos. Was the last place we had major statements about writing, but I don't know. Ashuri Yesh Buksav in Boloshan. Ashuri's got a nice alphabet. It doesn't have a good spoken language. Doesn't mean it doesn't have a language to speak. It means, the Kormei says, it's not a nice language to speak. Ashuri does not have the same kishmak that Hebrew does. Hebrew Yesh Boloshan, it's got a nice language. Vein Buksav. It doesn't have a nice writing. Right? Because the ancient Hebrew print is not so nice. It must have been in Shabbos. Because this probably was in the paragraph of Rabbi Akiva, where we spoke about Ksav Ashuris. Because Yerushalmi, we said back then, Ksav Ashuris is definitely later on, not like the Bavli. And here it is also. Bachulam Ksav Ashuri v'Loshon Ivri. They chose Ksav Ashuri and Loshon Ivri. Right? So that's like, clearly like Yerushalmi Shita, that it's a later thing that was the Klai Soro choose. V'lamini krashma ashuri shumu ushar biksavo. It is praiseworthy in its writing. All right, Levi Shiva said, Hashem sholem yodim ashur. No, it's because they came up with them from Ashur. Okay, getting back to the brachos and klos which given har grizimar as the evo. See if it says v'anu alavim v'amelo kol yishisro kol ram. The levim should respond and say to all of amisro kol ram. Bekolo shol ram. It means with the voice of the Most High. So to speak, Kodesh Baruch Hu's voice assists with Levim. You know, we provide amplification. Another interpretation, Kol Ram doesn't mean a loud voice, but a lofty voice. Ha'ma'ula shebekolos. The more loftiest voice is what's that? Amitzak lo koton, not a squeak. The lo gadol, not very deep. Elabenoni, I guess a tenor. Is the in-between voice, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, it was a nice voice. Okay? One second. One second, I forgot that you showed me elsewhere. Okay. Brachos to close, Kate said. How did Brachos to close work? Came with Rabbi Yisrael and said, yeah, they one time so passed over the Jordan River. In the Shomron, Shebetzad Shchem, near Shchem, Eitzel in Elonai Moreh, Sabai Elonai Moreh, with a whole bunch of Yishuvim, which will not may or may not last at this point. Shenamar says, Lohem Obeva Yardain, they are on the other side of the Jordan River. Ula Alon Omer, now it says, Hargrizim and Haravo are Eber Yardain. And it doesn't say by Shechem. Doesn't say that here. But it says, when you consider Shav, it says, Alohem Obeva Yardain. Ula Alon Omer, it says by Avram. It does say, I'm sorry, no, it does say by the Greece, by Harizim Harevo, that they're by Elom Moret. It doesn't say they're by Shechem. So the Gemara says, and how do we know that they're by Shechem? So we make a Zershot to Avram. Avram's Elom Moret was by Shechem. My Elom Moret Amur Lo Alon Shechem. Afi Elom Moret Amur Khan, so to Elom Moret, which is mentioned here, is also Shechem as well.
Elom Moret is different than
Elom Moret. Oh, absolutely. Elom Moret is near Hebron. Elom Moreh is near Shechem. Oh, it's, well, now that's actually what we're going to discuss now. Halohem Obeva, I'm now going to analyze this pasuk, and this machlok is also in the Bavli. Halohem Obeva Yardain says Hargrizim Hargrav evolved. Says the pasuk Halohem Obeva Yardain means Minaridain Alon, distant from the Jordan River. Achrei Derech Mavoa Shemesh, beyond the way of the coming of the sun. Malkom Shalchom Azarach, so it's far from the east. Mizrach is Zricha, where the sun rises. So in Eretz Yisrael, far from the sunrise over the Jordan River, right, you will find Har Grizim Bar Ebal, not adjacent to the Jordan River. It's further into Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Be'eretz HaKanani Yoshe Ba'arava, in the land of Kanani who reside in the plains, Mulag Yogol, Eitzel Nomore, that's all the part of the Pasuk, Zeh Har Grizim Bar Ebal, Vol is Har Grizim Bar Ebal, Shebein Akutim, which is in the section of the land which now belongs to the Samaritans, Steve Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda holds Hargrizim Haravo are what are identified as Hargrizim Haravo today, which are by Shechem, which is also where Elon Moreh is, and that Mula Gilgal. Problem is that the problem is in the Shai Torah Yisrael is a very nice and long interpretation here. You know, so Gilgal was a place where they came to right after they entered Eretz Yisrael. That's where Yeshua came in Bris Milah. So it says, part of the problem is reconciling. The Korban Eda actually notes that there's a mistake in the Bavli, he claims, because it says that Gilgal is next to Shechem. He says, clearly not true. So therefore, and that's a problem also which the Yerushalmi kind of glosses over. The Bavli says explicitly Gilgal is next to Shechem. The Yerushalmi never makes that point, but it seems that way from this Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that saying that the Hargrizim and Haravo are Be'er Adain, Vachrei Derech Mavo Shemesh, what's the rest of the Bozer? Be'eretz HaKanani Yoshe Ba'arava, Mul HaGilgal, Eitz Alonei Moreh. So here too it says Mul HaGilgal is going on, seems that Gilgal is next to Alonei Moreh. The Shai Torah Yisrael says the Pshat is that the Pasha Pshat is that there are two Gilgals. There was one Gilgal by Elonei Moreh and by Shechem, which was known in Parshas Re'eh already when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to take them there. They should be taken there after they enter Yisrael to get the brachos and clothes. And there was another Gilgal which Yeshua named when he was Mal B'nei Yisrael, because it says Ayon Kalosi Cherpas Mitzrayim Me'alechem. So he says the way to Miyashi the Gyrus and the Bavli, which Korbanet erases, and the way to understand the Pesukim is that there are two Gilgals, one of which was the one which existed, and then was another one later on, which Yeshua made. And he actually says something fascinating, which is totally off topic, but it's fascinating. There's a pasuk in Bereishis, a very problematic pasuk. It says that Avraham Avinu pursued the Arba Malachim, the four kings, Daron Omer, and all those guys, till Adon. And of course, it's a difficult pasuk because Don is not supposed to exist at the time, right? Don was one of the Shvatim which wasn't yet born. So it's like an anachronistic pasuk. So the even Ezra says it's Alpi Nevua. And Rashi also alludes to Alpi Nevua. But it's still difficult because Don didn't actually move up there until many years later. Because Don's original portion of Eretz Yisrael was much to the south. That's a very powerful Nevuah, and why didn't they realize that when they entered Eretz Yisrael, that there's a Nevuah in Chumash, that Don is going to be in the north, right? They only conquered that much later in favor of Shoftim. So in any event, so in fact, I think this might be one of the Pesukim which the Ibn Ezra which got the Ibn Ezra in trouble, because a few psukim in Shas, Ibn Ezra alludes to a belief that maybe it was inserted in the Torah later on. So I think this might be one of the psukim in which he makes that allusion. But in any event, but the Shai Teres himself says a beautiful pshat. He says, we think the Pashup pshat in the Pasuk is not like Chazal would say it was Halpi Nevuah, right? But rather, it's Pashut that there was a place named Don before Don became Shevet Don. He says, in fact, you know, the Banyas, right, which is in that area, is named after the Greek god, or I don't remember which nationality the god actually is, Ban, right? Or Pan. So it's right, it's Panias, I think. So it's not, so he says, it's not so outlandish to assume that if there's a Ban or a Pan, there's also a Don. And that was that place somewhere of the north. So he says, actually, it's the fact that later on was named Don was a coincidence, or maybe not a coincidence, maybe it was designed. But the Pashup Pshat was already a place named Don back then. And so to you, the Pashup Pshat would be that there was a Gilgal next to Shechem, which already exists at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, before Yeshua made Gilgal number 2 when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Anyway, Reb Lezer argues. Reb Lezer holds, ain't the Hargrizim Vaharevel Shokutim. Says, go to Hargrizim Vaharevel. It's not the Hargrizim Vaharevel which the Samaritans have. Shemet says, Halo Eimam Eivar Yardain. It says that they're an Eivar Yardain, meaning Yardain Ulaalon, but here he means close into the Jordan River, not far away. Achrei Derech Mevoa Shemesh, and they are beyond the way which the sun sun goes. Mekom Shachama Shokas, it's where the sun sets, and therefore it's not distant from the Jordan River, but rather close to the Jordan River, where you stand and you see the sun setting in the distance, at a far distance. Beretz Haknani. And another more proof in that is that it says Eretz Haknani, Elu ben Achivi, whereas Shechem is not Knani. I mean, it was generically all the nations called Knani, but Shechem belonged to Chivi, right? Shechem and Chamor, it says, was from Chivi. And Ayoshe Bar Avot also says that this Grizim Nevel has to be in the Aravot, in the plains. Elu ben Ahorim, whereas there are Grizim Aravot, which are the ones by Shechem are among the mountains. Mula Gilgal, and it also says Mula Gilgal, and he takes this Gilgal as being the Gilgal of Yeshua. Ain't got Gilgal, Eitzel Lenom Morei, it's no Gilgal by Lenom Morei, and the other ain't got Lenom Morei, a couple words missing here, Eitzel Gilgal, right? It's not, they're not simply the same place. Aye, so that's the case, Mamakam Revelez, our Grizim Arevel, if it's not the one in Shechem, because of all the signs are off. So what Hargrizim Arevel is it? So says Mar, Shtegav Shushus also. They took two mounds, two hills of dirt. For Koro Zeh Hargrizim Zeh Arevel. But the Torah Sibu is not to go to the Hargrizim Arevel, rather to identify two mounds as Hargrizim Arevel and give the brachos and clothes there. It's an amazing concept. Al Taiti Rabbi Akurna Bilo holds that it was up north, north. West of where they entered Eretz Yisrael, Mevesim Mil Hochabosayim. That day they entered Eretz Yisrael, that to go there, whatever day they went there, I remember, I think it was probably after Pesach. Whatever day they went there, they had to go 120 mil. Maybe it's the day they entered Eretz Yisrael, Taka. And they went there and came back, because I don't think it's actually 120 mil, it's probably 60 mil in each direction. All of Israel is not that big, right? So it's probably 60 mil in each direction. They made an artificial Hargrizim Harevel. Los doesn't become, but they didn't go anywhere. Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov ben Yaakov. Now a couple of other pshatim in these psukim. Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer lo ba'akosev el ha'ashu slam nesaderech. The bus only comes to give them advice on how to make an even pathway, because there's no more Onan. In the Midbar, they had the Onan, which was like a giant steamroller, but they didn't have it anymore, so how should they go? Mulomar should say, B'derech Yelcho B'lo Sarot, it says they should go on the road, not in the fields. But Yishuv Yelcho, they should go in the settled area of the Midbar, not in the deserts. Barav Yelcho should go in the plains, Lo B'horim, and not in the mountains. Amar Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So actually, all those things which are the Soskayim Barava and Rabbi Yogal Eitzel and Emoreh are just telling us walking directions, not necessarily telling us where it was. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon said, the Meisi Lusavei Kutim, I said to the scribes of the Samaritans, Ziyaftin Toreschem, you falsified the Torah. It was totally superfluous. It didn't do you any good. You wrote in your Torah, I guess in the Samaritan Torah, it says, Eitzel in her name, Moreh, Shchem. They actually put in the word Shchem in that pasuk, so we shouldn't know that Eitzel in her name, Moreh, is referring to their hard reason in our Evel up north, right? So he says, it wasn't necessary to do that. It's known that it's Shchem. You guys are wrong. We darshan gzer shavas and you don't. That's why you have to distort your Torah. Nermakani elone moreh. What gzer shav do we darshan? It says here elone moreh. And nermalalne elone moreh. It says elsewhere elone moreh. My elone moreh breshes. My la la. I think breshes. Ma elone moreh amur la la. Just like elone moreh later on is shechem. Right? So in other words, later on here actually means earlier in Parshas, in Sefer Breishis. In Dvarim is also Shchem as well, without having inserted extra words into the Torah. Now, Rabbi Shmuel said, he's out of left field here, but another shita about how they entered Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shmuel, my kobio shnem b'toyra. Eight times it says when you come in to Eretz Yisrael in the Torah, la'achar ba'aser shana ne'emru, it refers to after the 14 years. In other words, they didn't actually get to Shechem, to Agriz and Ra'eva, until 14 years elapsed, because it says when they get into Eretz Yisrael, they should do the brachos and klos, and getting in, according to Shmuel, means settling. So Sheva Shekim Shuv Sheva Shechilku. So they didn't have to walk 120 mil in one day, even if it was far away from the Yarden, because they had 14 years to get there, right? The Kavosa Lone Rubos goes to Lachar Basishara. Hey, so can you call Raymon? When the Khalid asked for Raymon, what's actually say this? Folks, he didn't say, when you pass the Jordan River, Tokimus, Abani Melish, you put up these stones. So then these stones are the prelude to the precursor of the brachos and klos. So in Malaysia, he said, Avani mikimos hamiyad. You can say, Rabbi Shmuel, the stones are the pemili. However, brachos and klos, the actual blessings and curses, la'achar abasir shonon emu, that only happened 14 years later. Okay, how did it happen? Halachda. Shisha shvatim olu rosh harbizim. Six shvatim went up to the top of harbizim. Vishisha shvatim olu rosh harbizim. Six went up to the top of harbizim. Vakwani malvim varonom lima milamato. And the kwani milavim and the arm would stand below. Plants and mill between the two mountains. Hakwani makivim is aron. The kwani surrounded the aron. Vahalavim is the kwani and the levim surrounded the kwani. Because on mikan mikan ovaisam was on the slopes of the two mountains. Shema says, V'choysos, kena v'shoftav, 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 of Am Yisrael, and its elders, and its officers, excuse me, and its judges, Omdi Mizem, he said, they stood on each side, L'Aron. Now, Hafchu Pnei Margrit, Knei Argrizim, so Levim would turn towards Argrizim, Paschu B'Brachon, he started saying, Bracha, Baruch Yisho Shaloya, Sepeso Masecho, blessed the person who doesn't make an idol or a form, Tavis Hashem repugnance, which Hashem finds repugnant. Maase Decha Rosh, you shouldn't make a crafts and works. Velos Hamaseitz, you shouldn't hide it. Now, this language is not actually appearing in Chumash, I think, if I recall correctly. It says in the Pasuk that they should say, Oror Ha'ish. Cursed is the person who makes an idol and secrets away the idol. So actually, our Mishnah is telling us a chiddush, that even the Torah tells us it only gives the orors, we also have to say the boroughs too. I better check this up to make sure I'm not making Torah fool of myself.
Just Lashon Nekiyah?
No, we have to do both. We do. Torah Tarbik, and they did for the Levim, and they borough. And then they turn around towards Tarebo and say orors. Because it says the Torah has to say orors.
It's interesting, the Korbanitis says that to call Arurim Hayomim Tchilo B'Lashon Bracha.
Right. Well, in the Chumash it's that way too. Well, the brachas are...
But I think what he's saying is for each of the curses, if you correspondingly say the bracha, you have to say the bracha before the curse is said.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't have the baruchs in the Chumash. Just has the orers. So actually, they would have to artificially create a baruch from the orer and say the baruch first. Okay? That's what Charmish was saying that they did. So he says here, they respond and say, and they start saying, which is the pasuk, or the person who makes an idol image, and everyone would answer amen again. So what we have in the Chumash, in fact, as 12 brachos and klolos, they already have doubled now to 22. In the Chumash we have 12 klolos. We've doubled by making all them brachos into 24. Sorry. 22. Sorry. Okay. Tani, we learned. Rabbi Omer says, Eivshar, an interesting conundrum. Eivshar lomar levi lamal, and he can't say the levim are up on top of the mountain, require name of levi lamata. It says the levim have to be below, between the mountains. Eivshar lomar levi lamata, he can't say levi's on the bottom only, require name of levi lamala. I don't remember this, we're seeing this in the Bible. It's a very practical question, though. It says here, Vele Yamdu, it says, the levim should stand in the middle, right? And it says that on hard reason, they should stand Shimon, the levi, the Yehuda. So, was Levi up or Levi down? Right? It says Levi was stood in the middle between the two mountains, and it says Levi stood on Har Gerizim. So, which one is it? So he says, not a question. So he says, again, Tani, Rebbe over here. Shalom, Levi, and you can't say Levi is the top, Shavarnar, my Levi, Lamata, it says Levi is down below. Yev Shalom, my Levi, Lamata, you can't say Levi is down below. Shavarnar, my Levi, Lamata, it says Levi is on the top. So why do you reconcile it to Psukim? Me'ata. For now we say, Zikne kuna levi lamaton. It's like Shneksu and Machishim and Zedzev, and there's no Kosov Ashlishi. Achriya b'neim. So how do we reconcile between the two? There's more, it's not a kasha. We say, well, it is a kasha, but we can resolve it. We say, Me'ata, Zikne kuna levi lamaton. The elders were down below. Ushar kol shev, the rest of the lamal were on high. Rav Shimon Mary Rav Shalomar Levi Lamar Lodge Kvar Neymar Levi Lamaton. Can't say my the same question. Can't say Levi's on top because it says Levi's below. Vishar my Levi Lamaton. Can't say Levi's down below. Kvar Neymar Levi Lamaton says Levi's up high. And more may I tell you must say Haroi L'Shores Lamaton. You must say the slightly different answer before, but basically the same gist. Those who are suitable still to avoid it stay down below. Those which are no not so shakal shape does not suitable to avoid though, where love remain on high lamal.
The old people couldn't climb, so they had to stay down below the
so that's the one shot that's caning, yeah, okay.
This is the original split squad.
Rabbi Shimon Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon says that it says that Shimon and Levi were up on top, right? So what do we infer from this? So it says Rabbi Shimon, we infer from this, Ma Shimon Kula Lamala? It says if Shimon was all on top, Av Levi Kula Lamala. So Levi is also completely on top. Ah, that's the case. Who is the Levim standing down below between the mountains? Ma Makai Madei Tanya, what does he do with that? It says in the Pasuk, Negro Kwanim and Levim, that the nation stood opposite the Kwanim and Levim. Says Gemar, Kaidam Rabbi Shub and Levi. Says, it doesn't say Hakohanim v'Halavim. It says Hakohanim Halavim. It's like Rav Shuvah Levi said, Be'atzim v'am Mekoyim, it's 24 places, Nikro Hakohanim Levim, Hakohanim are called Levim. B'zechem Yem, and there's one of them following, Hakohanim Halavim b'nei Tzadok. We see Hakohanim Levim, it can be referred to Hakohanim, and that's how we learn the case, in fact. Why are we pulling the case somewhere? Right, because the Levim were up on top of the mountain.
Yeah.
So we have to learn that the guys in between, according to him, according to Shimon, were all Kohanim, and they're called Levim here. Okay. Says Mara, Yochel Eshavar Grisim, Yoimim Brochus, Veshavar Grahevo, Yoimim Klolos. We say the ones on Har Grisim said the Brochus, and the ones on Har Abel said the Klolos, meaning not the Levim, who were between, or Kohanim were between, but rather the people on top of the mountain said Baruch and Orr. So it says the Mare, Tamlomar va Brochus va Klolos. It says, Tul. Yochel Mishor Yoimim Brochus va Yoimim Klolos. Does it mean that they said all the brachos and then they said all the klolos? Tamor abracha v'aklola. Alternate. Bracha achas uklola achas. Okay? Now, also, another subtlety here, which Gemara doesn't seem to be fully addressing, is that it wasn't actually Am Yisrael standing on the two mountains who said the brachos and klolos. Because the brachos and klolos were said by the Kohanim in between the two mountains. Just Am Yisrael would answer Amen on each and every one. That's clear. Once we take away the right to make the brachos and klolos from the participants in the mountains, by saying that whoever said both, it has to be the people who are standing in the middle, okay? Who could therefore say both. So, Yochel Eishav Argrizim Yoni Machar Brachos Amen. We say that those Argrizim answered after the Brachos Amen, and only after the Brachos. Ve'elu Shabarevo Yoni Machar Klos Amen. They would answer after the Klos Amen, and only after the Klos. Tamulomar Vanu Kolo Amramu Amen. Everybody said Amen. Ve'elu Ve'elu Yoni Amen. Achar Brachos Amen. Klos Amen. Everybody said Amen after the Brachos and after the Klos. Okay, so how it work? B'shar Shu Yoimim Brachos when they were saying Brachos are Yofchim Bnei Klapei Hargrizim. They just look at Hargrizim, but anybody would say Amen. Everybody would hear. B'shar Shu Yoimim Brachos when they would say Klos are Yofchim Bnei Klapei Harivol. They would say Kabbapis and Arevo, right? But everybody knew that it applied equally to everybody. But their Klap with their Prat. Now they would say each Brach and Kola in generality against Am Yisrael and specification against specific members of the community. Okay? So how many klolos do we have per, so far how many klolos do we have per one in the Chumash?
3 klolos?
22. Huh? How many brachos and klolos?
Oh, we have 44.
24 and 48.
Oh,
48. Okay. So now, Sheshes Rebis is a kol dover dover. We have, in fact, it wasn't just four. Orer b'chlal, orer b'frat, baruch b'chlal, baruch b'frat. But there were actually times four. Sheshes Re all together, right? So far it's four. Klal prat on the baruch, klal prat on the or. Besides that, in each one we said there would be lilmod ulamed lishmor v'lasos. On each one of the brachos and klolos, they would use these languages of verbs to learn, to do, to preserve, and to learn and to teach, to preserve and to do. So on each thing, where there's an aura mentioned in the Torah, in fact, we escalated. We made a baruch b'chlal, aura b'chlal, aura b'frat, and with all these four different various permutations of committing the avera. Okay? This took place also at Sinai and also Arvas Moy for the entire Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon said, yeah, but didn't place Yisrael Hargrizim or Abel. Avin Shal Oyel Moy Tachtem, rather took place in the Oyel Moy instead. What's the Oyel Moy? The Mishkan, right. So when Moshe rebuked the Mishkan, he rebuked them with all these languages. And so the Rabbi Shimon used to say, there's nothing in Torah, there are 576 brisos on eighth aiming in the Torah. How are there 576 brisos? 12 bebaruch u'12 bar. There are 12. 12 in baruch and 12 in oror. Now, where we get the number 12, it's not clear. But we got 12 baruchs and 12 orers, meaning we say 12 times. It seems the Kukarmineta gives two pshatim. One is corresponding to the Beishvatim, and the other is that because it says Orer 12 times in the Parsha. So repeat each Orer 12 times, one for each of the Shvatim, or one for each of the Kolos themselves. And besides that, Ushtemisre Beklau, Ushtemisre Beklau, Ushtemisre Befrat. And we also say the 12 on each klau and each prat, and each in the collective entity of Am Yisrael, and on each specific individual. So our boyim v'shmar brisos. So actually, each one so far is 48 brisos. I know it was confusing, but each bracha was 12. They said each bracha 12 times, corresponding either 12 shvatim or the 12 general orders. And then they had to do it 12 times times 4. Because each one has to be said, Lil Mozulame Lishmar Velasulukayim, right? Each of those 12. And then, they had to do it also, one Bechlau and one Befrat, right? So how many was all together? Yeah, I know, it's hard to keep count. It was 12 times each one, times four components. Lil Mozulame Lishmar Velasulukayim. That's 48. Times Klau and Prat. 96. Right? So that's what Mara says. Oh no, what am I saying?
Prat is more than 96. Because it's another. It's 48 times 2. For Kal and Prat, and then add that to 48. It's 96 plus 48.
Now I'm confused. Don't ask him. I was like, I was mad.
No, I'm just if it's Kal and Prat, that's 2, and it's 48 components for Kal. And for Prat, so that's 96 right there. And we have 48 to begin with. So that's 96 plus 48.
Yeah, you're right, but it's actually, let's see what I can do without a board. There's Yud Beis, 12, right? Times Klau and Prat, that's times 2, right? That's 24, right? Times each one by 4. It's 96. So what am I missing? Let's read inside again. Shtemisei baruch, shtemisei baruch. Ushtemisei beklau, shtemisei... Oh... Because I'm only counting one side of the equation. I'm an idiot. By Baruch and Orah together, it's 96 plus 96. What is that? That's 192. That's my most question. Everything here, there's 192 brisos. Right? So that's it. So it's a share. Ushtem is a bar, shem is a bar, ushtem is a bar, shem is a pad, and our rea boy, Harei Arboi Mishmona, Brisos, Lil Molami, Lishma Lassos, Harei Meiv Tishim Shtarim Brisos. Right, that's 192.
What is the Gemara by Brisos?
They repeated it 192 times, each one of these things. But now we go up to 576. That's 4 times 192.
How do you get up to 192? How do I do?
It's not 192. It's 192 times 3.
What's the 3?
I forgot. Oh! Because it said before. Of course, because it said before. V'chein bar is in the third line. V'chein bar sinem v'chein bar avos mo'av. All of these things are repeated 3 times. In avos mo'av and in har sinai. So each time, even though it's only brought down Torah once, the whole list of orers, but it was repeated 192 times, thrice. Once in har sinai, once in avos mo'av before they entered Eretz Yisrael, and another time in Har Gerizim and Har Ebal. So it's 192 times each one in those 3 locations. Okay? That makes sense. You got it?
Yeah, I got it, but I could be wrong, and I could be way, way off. In the Korban Eidah, when he explains V'chein b'har sinai v'chein b'har avos mo'av, kol echad hayu shesh esrei brisos al kol mitzvah. Does that mean not Aura Barah, but every mitzvah of the Torah had a positive and a negative, and you go 192 times for each one of those things?
Yeah, it sounds like that, yes. I did actually see that when I was preparing. Yes, sounds like that, yeah. Not only that, look at further. Rabbi Shimon, Yehuda Ishkvar, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Sheish Mils Elef Ushlosh Elef Chamesh Mils Chamishim. They repeated the bracha and kola 192 times for each individual in Klal Yisrael. So each guy, although the truth is that it seems according to seems that we take out or could take out for the 12 Shvatim. I don't know if we have to take out or have to have the one multiple of 12. Anyway, they repeat it for each one of the members.
They would have gotten the message.
What?
Right. They would have gotten the message.
Yeah.
Then they
Israel. Rebbe Omer, in Kediv Rebbe Shimon ben Yehuda, Ishkvar Omum, Sh'amar Mishum, Rebbe Shimon, who said the name of Shimon, Enchol Kol Dover Dar Me'atar, Shein Kores Lavar, Boim Mishmon Apomim, Kol Pam Pam, Sheish Melos, each and everything, each every time, Sheish Melos Elef, Ushloshes, Alovi, Chameshes, Chamishim, Akadun Dvarim Shenichu, V'nifratu. This, yeah, it's not. Doesn't sound like it's on all the mitzvahs. No. That this going on stuff which is nichlu, which is included in the klal, and then nifritu. Dvarim shenichlu v'lo nifritu. What about things which weren't specified? Meaning all the other mitzvahs besides those which are specified in the or in the or in the baruchs. Amar Leis, he said, "Kenem Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rishimen." He said, "The kol she of the klal v'yotzim in the klal lame. Anything which was included in the klal came out from the klal to teach." Lo lamed al atzmo yotza, doesn't it just teach about itself? Elo lamed al klal kulo yotza, teaches you about the entire klal. So therefore, the last thing mentioned is or asher lo yokim as divrei Torah zos. And then we would say baruch asher yokim as divrei Torah zos. And we would multiply that. And that would apply, that's a klal, applies to the entire Torah. But now we know that each and every prat, each and every one of the 612 mitzvahs, other than Yochim Mitzvah Torah, or actually 613 sign of mitzvah. All the 613 mitzvahs had their own, you know, the all said brisim, which on them as well. And you know, you asked me before, what is the bris? Somebody asked me. The truth is, it's much more than I said before. It's arvus. It's quite so raving those that that's really the bris of arvus and maravel was that I'm responsible to make sure you do your mitzvahs, and you're responsible for me to make sure I do my mitzvahs. That's what the bris was about. Okay, so it says. Where do we say kol shel bichlal yotzin klal lamed lo lamed atzmo el yotzin lamed klal kul yotzin teaches about the entire bitzel? Amalei they said lo b'dover echad. That's only where you have one yotzin min klal. So it comes to teach you about the klal. But here dealing with shnei dvarim. What about when you have two things? V'achav shnei dvarim anukayim. Here it's about two things or more than two things, because we have a whole bunch of things specified in these auras, you know, Matasokas Gvul, and cursing one's father and mother, and Lif Neiver, so the whole bunch of things here. So how can you say it's Lamed on all the things that aren't mentioned? So he says, Ksiv, I'll tell you, because it says, Orish Aloyakum is Divra Terezos. It's since we complete the sequence with the cloud, that's the last thing mentioned, Orish Aloyakum is Divra Terezos, so everything is included in that. Now, a little bit of a tangent. Says the Gemara, V'chiyesh Torah no fellows, what does it mean you have to support the Torah? Does the Torah fall? Shimon ben Yochim Omer Zeh Chazen Shu Omed. It's a Chazen who stands up in Shul. The Chazen is not our Chazen, though. It's the guy who gets Hagba. If he doesn't do Hagba properly, that's Orah Shalom Yochim Mesivir Torah Zos. So he's actually learning Kipshuto, not like the Drusha here, which we have. That's talking about all of the Torah, but actually, he's learning a different shot. It's not called Torah Kula, but it's specifically by the Sefer Torah.
Taking literally,
right? Says Rav Shimon ben Chalafta Omer, yet another little shot. Zeh Abayis Shalomato. It's the house below. The Shah Torah explains that he says, sorry about the house of the Nasi. And the house of the Nasi was below because he lived Shimon Chalafta in a place overlooking Tveria. And the Nasi's house was down below in Tveria. So they say, you know what? Somebody doesn't support the Nasiat. Amar Rav Chunav Rav Yidu Shem Shmuel Haldover Zek Kora Yoshio V'amar Alay Lokim. Yoshio ripped his clothing upon the design of Torah and said, I have to support it. So we see that the Nasi, who's the king, has to support the Torah. Rabbi Yaakov Hashem, Rabbi Tanchum, Rabbi Chiyallah says, Lamad, if a person learned Torah, a Limin, a taught Torah, a Shomer, and preserved the Torah, a Osin, did the Torah, but he says, he could support people who learned Torah monetarily. The Loyach Zika, he didn't, wasn't, that's how Rebbe Chai Ori says, Ori Shal Yochim is Divya Terzos, cash. You have to support Torah. Yochim means to sustain Torah. Rabbi Yerushay Rechia Barba said, Lo, on the other hand, Lo Lomad Velo Limeid Velo Shamar Velo Asar Velo Isar Tzfeiko Biyar Lachzik. He's a total loser. He didn't learn, he didn't teach, he didn't work, keep, he didn't do, and he didn't have money. But Hechzik, but anyway, he gave money whatever he could. Harez B'chav Baruch. He also gets a bracha. V'am Rabbi Chana, Rabbi Yim, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Chia, Asya Kosh Baruch Lasso, Tzel Kosh Baruch is going to make a special shade L'Bali Mitzvahs for the people who did the mitzvahs of supporting Torah, but Tzilo Shabali Torah, that they'll be in the same shadow of those who learned Torah. My time, what Pasuk teaches us is, Ki B'Tzela Chochma B'Tzela Kesef. There's a link between the shade of wisdom and the shade of silver. Environment, it says, Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Bo. The Torah is a tree of life to those who support it. On that happy note, I take checks.